Amen. Thank you, Skeeter. I'll let you know about a couple quick things, and then we'll jump in to something I'm really excited about. I have a testimony that I'm going to share with you tonight in just a few minutes. Pastor Dennis is not here, obviously. He is gone ahead of us to Hamilton, Texas. We do a camp, several times a year. Just ask that you be praying for the camp. It'll run tomorrow about lunchtime through Sunday lunchtime. We always see God do some awesome things there. The rest of the staff will actually be joining him tomorrow, so we'll wake up and leave bright and early in the morning and join him in Hamilton. So you keep us in your prayers as we travel, but that means the office will be closed tomorrow, and we won't have church Sunday night, all right? So as much as I hate to miss and shut her down, there won't be anybody here, so we won't have church, all right? It's that simple. Don't stop by the office either. We won't be here, all right? You can pray on the front porch if you like to, but otherwise, you're done, all right? So, also want to let you know about an event that's coming up, just to kind of get it on your calendar here in a couple more weeks. It's Feed a Friend, April 1st. I know many of you have been before. We're looking forward to what God's going to do again this year. It's out at the Register's house. There's some flyers in the lobby. You can pick those up on your way out. It has a little map and it has the address, but we'll give you some more information as it gets a little bit closer. But like I said, just wanted that to be kind of on your radar. God always does awesome things there. Ray's going to be there sharing again this year. We have a friend of ours from Texas that's going to come over and lead worship. He is unbelievable worship leader, one of my favorite guys to minister with. So Gilbert Marquez, if you may have heard Pastor talk about him. But it's going to be a lot of fun. The best part is it's free and we have a lot of food, all right? So we need help eating the food and we need help just seeing what God wants to do. It's a great opportunity for you to invite somebody who maybe would be uncomfortable in church. This is a real laid-back atmosphere. I mean, we're as casual as can be. We'll have games out in the yard. We'll kick off the service about 2 o'clock. Ray doesn't take too long, and then we'll finish up with just fellowship and eating and just enjoying what God's doing. Last year, we actually baptized a couple people after the event, so it's a really cool event. If you haven't tried it, come on. If you have tried it, I don't have to talk you into it because you had a good time, right? So, wanted to make sure you're aware of those couple things. Now, tonight, I am super excited. I get the pleasure of hearing this testimony for the first time, really, as you hear it. So, Pastor Dennis has a good friend of his, Ray Mendenhall, and he's going to come up here and just share a little bit of his testimony of what God's done in the last couple years. And I was talking to Ray before the service, and he was saying how, God's done all these amazing things, but he really felt like God wanted him to come back and share with where it all started. And it all started with him sitting in the balcony right up there and responding to what God had called you to do, or him to do in this case. So, Ray, it's all yours. He's kind of like me. He told me before, he said, listen, this is not something I want to do, but this is something I know God wants me to do. And so I told him, I said, I understand the feeling. This is not something I like to do either, but this is something God has called me to do. And so I told him, I said, the best thing to do is be obedient. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to this testimony. Y'all give Ray Mendenhall a hand as he comes on up here.
Those of you who know me, know I don't want to be up here. I'm the first one in, the last one out. Get in the back seat, get in the top row. I don't like being on the spotlight. Never have. But a year ago, let me start with about 3 weeks ago, I received a phone call. Guy needed some help, needed some guidance. I'm trying to figure out why I got this phone call. Can y'all hear me? So I made the phone call. I talked to this man for 2 hours. And at the end of this, I'm going to ask you to pray for him. You're going to find out where this leads to. And then God kind of led me to, I needed to go back to Open Range Church and tell my story. This is where it started. Some of you know me, some of you don't. But most everybody here has prayed for me over the last year. I was a Shreveport fireman for 23 years. I left here, took a job in South Louisiana. I think that's where God wanted me to be. Well, with everything that happened to me, that is. I was minding my own business, got a phone call. We were short-staffed. It's not my job to work a 24-hour shift no more. Guy needed to be at home with his family because he had some bad stuff going on. It was on a Sunday. I said, I'll go work for you. So I did. Got to the station, settled in, got an ear infection. Never had an ear infection in my life. So, man, this hurts. Called my wife, told her I was going to bed early. I had an ear infection. I was going to go see the doctor. Told the guys good night. I don't know how many of you have been in a fire station, but there's some of them pretty big, and ours is pretty spread out. So I'm in the bedroom by myself. My eardrum busts. Felt like a firecracker went off in my eardrum, in my ear. Blood's pouring everywhere. I said, well, I better get up and see how bad this is. So as I go to get up, my whole left side's numb. I fall. I hit my head on a wooden chair where my clothes are at, and I hit my head on the floor when I hit the floor. Laid there unconscious for a while. Guys finally came to bed. I went to bed at about 8 o'clock. They come in about 10:30, found me on the floor. So they called the battalion chief, said, you need to get out here right now. We got a problem. So he gets out there. I'm all right by now. Everything's good. I'm not numb. Everything's good. You got to understand, I'm real hard-headed. So if this would have happened to me at home, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital. I'd have told my wife, I don't worry about it. Well, I'll go to the doctor tomorrow. Told the battalion chief when he got there, I said, just take me home. He said, nope, not taking you home. I said, yeah, take me home. He said, no. He said, I'm taking you to the hospital. He said, you ain't above the law. You hurt on duty. You going to the hospital. I said, you're right. I said, take me to the hospital. He said, I already called your wife. I said, that was a bad mistake. He said, she going to meet us at the hospital. I said, okay. Got down there. Sure enough, busted eardrum. They do their thing. And had an awesome nurse. He kept telling the doctor, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Doctor said, no, he said, it's just a busted eardrum. He said, no. He said, there's something else wrong with this guy. He said, I want a CAT scan. I want you to do an MRI. Doctor said, there's no need. He just kept pressing him. Doctor finally gave in, and he said, all right, I'll do it. He said, I ain't going to find nothing. Okay, we did it. Doctor comes in an hour later. Sits down in the chair next to my wife. He don't say a word. Finally, I looked at him. I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, you got a massive brain tumor. And he said, it's in a bad place. And he said, it ain't looking good, brother. I said, that ain't me. I said, I came here for an ear infection. I said, that must be the guy next door. He said, no, it's you. I said, okay. So what are we going to do? He said, I already called the neurosurgeon. It's about 3 a.m. by now. He said, he'll be here in 2 hours. I mean, it must be bad if you got the neurosurgeon out of bed at 3 a.m. He gets there. He runs his test. He does stuff. He said, be in my office tomorrow. I said, all right. So I show up in his office. He looks at me. He said, I am the best in the Southwest region. People come from all over for me to operate on them. He said, but I'm not touching you. You talk about make you feel bad real quick. I said, why not? He said, you too bad. He said, I'm not good enough. I said, well, Doc, I appreciate your honesty and not wanting to be an experiment. I said, what are we going to do? He showed me the picture of the brain tumor. It was big, about the size of an orange. Had no indication of it whatsoever. So, what are we going to do, Doc? He said, I'm sending you to the third best in the world. I kind of laughed. I said, you sending me to Dr. Nanda in Shreveport? Boy, he looked at me and said, how you know? I said, well, I lived and worked there for 23 years. I said, I know the man. He said, that's where you're going. I said, okay. I said, by the way, Doc, I said, what did this eardrum have anything to do with this brain tumor? I said, did too much pressure or something? He said, no, son. He said, God sent you here. He said, he made your eardrum bust. He said, because needed to find out. I said, okay. I'm good with that. So we come to Shreveport. He said, this is on Tuesday. He said, be in his office on Thursday. I said, all right. Go to his office on Thursday. He's just cool as he can be. Like, this is no big deal to him. I said, okay, Doc. He said, I got this. All right. Went through all the stuff. Came to church here that night. Got up in the top row where I always sit, way behind everybody. And y'all know it's come here a while. What's Brother Dennis do? Say anybody needs something, raise their hand. Raise their hand. I've been coming to church here for years. I ain't never raised my hand. I don't ask for much. That night I raised my hand. Then he asked if anybody wanted to come down up front. I'm like, dang. You had to go there, didn't you? I said, I looked at my wife and I had a bunch of friends with me up there. I said, I'm going down there. So I went down there and I stood right there in that corner. And there were several firemen in here that I used to work with, came up, put their hand on me. They didn't even know, but they're like, I had a lot of people looking at me like, man, why is he going down to the front row? He don't ever go down there. And they come put their hand on me. And Brother Dennis put his hand on me and something changed. And it's like, okay, it's going to be all right. Okay, give me a second. I got to stand up. I sit too long, my leg gets sore. I stand too long, gets sore. That's the least of my problems. So I come here. We left. My wife and I went back home. Went back to Ville Platte, Louisiana. Felt really good. Started praying a lot more than I usually do. And to back that story up, worked on the fire department a long time. We'd sit on the tailboard, have discussions about God and why things happen to people, bad runs we'd make. I said, man, I don't understand it. It just happens. Nothing we can do about it. So we had a lot of tailboard discussions about Jesus. And that's kind of where they stayed. You know, no big churchgoers or anything like that. So thought about that. I read my Bible every night. Well, this particular night, I was reading my Bible. Because one guy I worked with said, God talks to you. I looked at him, I said, well, I ain't never heard him. He said, you're missing it. I said, well, I guess I am. Because I ain't never heard him. Well, I was reading my Bible and praying about this brain tumor. And I said, God, if you hear my prayers, I said, do something. Show me a sign. Do something. And I always sit in bed, and I got my head propped up like this. And I got my Bible stretched out as far as my arm will reach because my eyes aren't good. And about that time, something pushed me forward. I look around. Ain't nobody in the room. It's just me. I said, huh. I said, all right. I said, God, if that was you, do it again. I kind of laughed too. I'm like, this ain't going to happen again. I just kind of moved or edged or something. By that time, my Bible out here, I got pushed forward and my nose went all the way into my Bible. About that time, my wife walks in. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Oh, you ain't going to believe me." So I tell her. She said, "I've been praying hard." I said, "I know." I said, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay." So I come up here to Shreveport, having a good time. Had a party the night before. Had pizza. This is no big deal to me. I'm thinking I'm going to walk in. We're going to get this tumor cut out. I'm going to be back to work in about 2 weeks. That was my whole attitude towards it. Because it happened so fast that it was found. Hey, be here. Now we're going to cut it out. Really didn't have time to think about it a whole lot. Well, that was entirely wrong. So when I got out, well, when I'm in there waiting on my surgery, must have been 50 or 60 firemen in there. A lot of people in my room. We're having a good old time. They can hear us up and down the hallway, and they're like, "Man, what are they so happy about?" We're just enjoying. We're praying and having a good time. They take me back. I come back. I wake up. Can't move. My arms don't move. My legs don't move. I'm like, "Oh, this ain't good." Doctor told me this was going to happen. I was like, "Oh, okay." Stayed in ICU about 7-8 days up here. Finally looked at my wife. I said, "If this is how it's going to be," I said, "you know what I'm going to do." She said, "Oh, I already locked up all your guns." I said, "Because I ain't living like this." She said, "I know." She said, "We're going to keep praying." I said, "Okay." So, another funny thing. Think God doesn't work in your life? Listen to this one. I wanted to stay in Shreveport because my doctor worked on me here. I wanted to do my rehab here in case anything happened. He said, "No." He said, "As good and as big as Shreveport Bossier is, they're not prepared to handle you and what you've got." He said, "I send my patients like you away from here." I said, "All right, where am I going?" He said, the two best places in the state of Louisiana are in your backyard. I laughed. I said, "Hey, man, you know I live in Ville Platte, right?" "There ain't nothing there." He laughed, too. He said, "Yeah, there is." He said, "Mamou," which if anybody knows South Louisiana, I'm thinking, "I ain't going to Mamou." He said, "Or Opelousas General South." I looked at him. I said, "You serious?" He said, "Yep." "Okay, that's where we're going." Couldn't figure out how I was going to get there. Me and my fireman friends made a call to the fire chief right here. Said, "We got to get Ray down south. Got to have two paramedics go with him." The fire chief worked a 24-hour shift so he could let one paramedic go and called in another one. And they took me down there in the ambulance. Dropped me off. Couldn't move, couldn't do anything. For 6 weeks, I laid in bed. Well, I didn't lay in bed. They got me out to do PT, but nothing moved. My right arm started to move. Then my right leg started to move. Finally, they broke my left arm loose. But my left leg still gives me some problems to this day, but that's okay. And the whole time I was in there, I prayed and prayed, and people from up here came down and seen me. People from down there came and seen me. And it just, I felt the presence of God in my room the whole time. And that's just never happened to me before. So it just kept doing really good and really good. Finally, I'll tell you a funny part of it, because there's some good stuff that happened. Met a guy down there who's an administrator. His dad was Shreveport policeman. And he came in and introduced himself because he seen I was from Shreveport. He told me his last name. I said, I know who your dad is. He said, that's what I wanted to ask you, if you knew my dad. Yeah, sure did. Worked with him in Cedar Grove for many years. He said, yeah, so every morning he brought me coffee. We had a good talk every morning. Talked about God, talked about a lot of stuff. I had my own room. The people there were awesome. Kept my room at 62 degrees with a fan blowing on me because I was on so much medication. I was hot all the time. When people came to my room, they would put their winter coats on. I kept the blinds closed. Stayed there for 6 weeks. Finally, about 3 days, 4 days into it, I don't know. I guess it was her job to come check on me. It was one of them ladies that's like a psychiatrist and a welfare checker. She said, we got to talk. Now, mind you, I'm eating a steak dinner. I don't know what they brought me to eat, but it didn't look good. But the brothers at the fire station, every time they cooked, they brought me food. I'm eating a steak dinner. I'm the youngest person in this place. Most of the people are in there. Are older with broken hips, broken arms, stuff. They're in there for rehab. I don't exactly fit in. I kept my blinds closed. She said, I think you're depressed. I'm not depressed. What's the next words out of her mouth? You in denial. What? Okay. I said, how you figure? She said, you don't come out of your room. You don't socialize. It's dark in here. It's cold in here. I said, ma'am, let me help you out. What's that over there under that plate? She said, I don't know. I said, yeah, me neither. That was dinner. I said, let me help you. It's 62 degrees in here. It's 75 degrees out there on the other side of that door. I said, I'm eating a steak dinner. And I said, you want to know why I don't go to the cafeteria? I said, first off, that'd be really rude for me to go eat in front of those people a steak dinner. I said, besides, there's a lot more old people in there than there is me. $5 says I lose my steak. And she laughed and looked at me. She said, you're not depressed. I said, no, I'm not. Bye. So that was the funny part. But every morning, Jason would come in. He started bringing his Bible. He brought me a Bible. And we'd pray. I finally got out of there. Started doing physical therapy. Got through it. Doing good. And there's a few people sitting here that know this story, and they came here September, came to church in September. Y'all prayed for me again. This time I was sitting kind of back over there. I was like, I kind of wandered down a little bit lower, a little closer. But the doctor released me on September 1st. Said, you good to go. He said, I need you to do more PT. Said, so I'm going to let you go December 1st back to work. I said, okay, that's good, doc. I'm ready to go. 1 week later, I'm sitting in my chair about 5 in the morning, drinking some coffee, minding my own business. Couldn't breathe. It's like something's wrong. Went to stand up, fell on the floor. It's concrete floor. I had enough time to think about it. This is going to hurt. When I hit the floor, it hurt. Broke 5 ribs. That ain't the best part. Get my wife, say, hey, you got to come get me off the floor. Of course, she's mad because I stood up without her help and can't breathe. We got to go to the hospital. Go to the hospital. Next thing I know, they don't admit me. They take me straight back. No papers, no nothing. Like, well, this is a change. They're going to give me some attention. It wasn't good attention. My right lung was 2/3 full of a blood clot. My left lung was half full of a blood clot, and I had a blood clot in my femoral artery. And the doctor told my wife, said, you better call all your family. I hope you got your affairs in order, because he ain't going to make it. I didn't know none of this, because they're doing all kinds of stuff to me. And it just so happened, nobody at the fire station knew about it. One of the chiefs called to check on me. She said, I can't talk right now. She said, we're at the hospital and he's in bad shape. She said, I don't know what they're going to do with him. He said, what's wrong? She said, I don't know. He said, I'll be right there. He came straight there and comforted her. And, you know, stayed in ICU, I don't know, 7-8 days. It was kind of a blur because I was drugged up pretty good. Got out on the floor. A lot of prayers. A lot of people came to see me, praying for me. Had a fire chief from Indiana fly down. One from California fly in. People from Shreveport came seeing me because they're like, we're going to go say goodbye to him because he ain't going to make it. But they were praying for me. Finally made it out. I was back in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. Couldn't do nothing. And I talked to people a lot. On the phone, text. And there's a particular person, a couple people sitting on the front row, and I see one in the half back row who mentored me a lot, him and his sons, at the feed store, prayed for me. When I'd come into town, we'd drink coffee, and we're going to drink coffee in the morning. And this man sitting right here is a Shreveport fire captain. To my left, Mike Purser. I'd call him at all hours of the night. Finally, one night, I called him. I said, called to tell you goodbye. It's about 3 a.m. He said, what? I said, can't do this no more, brother. I said, I'm done. He said, you ain't got no guns, do you? I said, no. I got more power than that. I said, I done prayed to God to come take me tonight. I cannot do this anymore. I mean, I'm praying hard. Just come take me. I cannot do it. He says, hold up. He said, let me call you right back. I said, well, if I answer, I'm still here. If not, you'll know I'm gone. So he calls my wife. She comes to the hospital. I don't know what all they do. I barely remember her being there. I don't know what all they do to me. But I know when I wake up from being drugged up, this guy's sitting in my room. He got up, took a shower, drove straight down there, 3 hours. He's sitting in my room. I wake up and I said, man, what you doing here? He said, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying over you the whole time you've been asleep. I just kind of shook my head. I said, well, it ain't my time. And God's done a lot more miracles in my life. There's a young lady sitting in the front row right here, Miss Melinda. She got to see me at my worst. She was actually on one of my hospital visits, had came by. And it just so happened I was getting out. And her and my wife had to help me out, help me into my house. I couldn't do anything. And her and I prayed, and she prayed for me. And my wife prayed for me. And I'm just here to tell you the power of prayer has got me where I'm at today. And God has worked many miracles in my life. I've been back and forth. Her husband come down. I was on my walker. He takes care of our horses. I got to go out in the barn. First time I'd been out in the barn. Came back. All right, Mr. William, what I owe you? Brother, you don't owe me nothing. He said, just seeing you up and about is good enough for me. And we talked for a while. It made me feel really good. But I guess my message tonight is that be there for each other. Pray for each other. You never know what somebody's going through. Don't be afraid to come up to the stage. I never did, but I finally gave in and gave up. I was sitting in the doctor's office today, another checkup. There was an older couple sitting off to my left. This guy was mad at the world because he'd been sitting there 2 hours waiting to see the same doctor I'm waiting to see. Kind of hearing his conversation with his wife, he said, I'm going to the bathroom, we're going home. She said, no, we can't go home. I said, hey, man, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, why are you here? Well, I got this issue on my brain. I said, where else you got to go then? I said, God brought you here for a reason. These are the best people in the world. Where you got to go that's more important than being right here? He kind of looked at me. I shared my story with him. He stayed right there and waited his turn because he was fixing to leave. I said, man, you ain't going to do nothing but go home and die if you don't stay here. I said, this is where God wants you. Went in, got my turn. Doctor come out and he said, man, you're good. He said, everything's looking good. There were, you know, there's, which it was non-cancerous to start with, which was very big relief. But what they were afraid, because it had attached itself to my main artery in my brain, that down the road it could develop cancer cells from that. He said, there's nothing there. He said, it looks good. He said, everything's filled in like it's supposed to fill in. And this is the same doctor that as I'm going into surgery, I said, hey, doc, hold up. Let's stop. I said, I want to say prayer over you and the team. He said, save your energy. He said, I'll pray for you. They stood right there and said a prayer for me before we went into surgery. It meant a lot to me that my own doctor right there was willing to pray for me. A very good Christian man. And he's one of the best around. I've been through a lot, but I got help through a lot. I had people coming to my house, cutting my grass, taking care of stuff. People would come visit me. And it made a difference. So if you know somebody out there who's hurting or just needs help, just show up. Because I'm going to tell you, they're probably too prideful to ask for help. I ain't never asked for help. I always give help. But it wasn't my time. I couldn't do nothing. Without the people that God put in my life and where he put me, I wouldn't have made it. And that's pretty much sums up my whole story. And I'm here tonight to thank y'all for praying for me and being there for me. And I'd like, before I close this out, I'd like for the Roans to come up here. I'd like for Captain Mike Purser and the Shake Snyders to come up here. I just want you to see the people that's here in your church that came to my aid to be with me and pray with me that I didn't think I'd ever need, but I had to have. And it may have just been simple as sitting on the tailgate or sitting in the feed store or a man showing up at 5 in the morning to be with me, to drive all the way from Shreveport. And it means a lot. And I love y'all, and I thank y'all so much. And I didn't want to be here tonight. I tried figuring out a way out of this, but God put it on my heart to be here and tell you all this. And to end my story where I started, I ask you to pray for a man who's going to have brain surgery tomorrow. He was an assistant fire chief with the Shreveport Fire Department for 37 years. His name's Bobby Robinson. Probably a lot of people know him. He's cleaned chimneys. A lot of people don't know what he's going through. Kind of walked him through about everything I went through. He goes into surgery. He's in the hospital right now tonight. He's getting brain surgery at 5 a.m. I'm going to be sitting in his room at 4 a.m. with him. Just because there were people there for me. And it means a lot. Thank you for allowing me to share this. Bless y'all.
Man. You know, there's two things that just jump out at you when you listen to his story. And the first one is this is a beautiful picture of the church. This is what the church is supposed to look like. The church is supposed to love people. The church is supposed to help people when they can't help themselves. The church is supposed to come together and lift each other up in prayer. The second thing that just jumps out at his story, and he said it over and over and over, is we just kept praying. It's the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. And as he was sharing his story, he took me to 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." And so I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to be a praying people. But I know that for some of you, you may not been exactly where he's at, but you've been in a similar place. You've been in a place where God has to show up, or you don't have any other options. And I think what happens is Satan wants to speak to us in those moments, because maybe the healing doesn't come right away, or maybe the outcome doesn't look the way it's supposed to. And what we begin to do in those moments is we begin to allow our experience to shape truth rather than God's word shape truth. And so for some of you, you hear stories like this and it frustrates you. It frustrates you because you say, well, that's not my story. My story is I'm still dealing with cancer. My story is I'm still dealing with hurt. My story is I'm still dealing with pain. I want to encourage you tonight. Your experience doesn't define the truth. Your experience doesn't define what God's word says. God's word does. God's heart is to heal. God's heart is to restore. And so even if your experience doesn't line up to that, what we have to learn to do is force our experience to submit to that. I was watching a testimony this week, and there's a fellow over in Dallas. His name is Todd White. You may have seen him on the internet. You may have heard of him. Todd White is a guy who the Lord saved out of heavy, heavy drugs. And God got a hold of his life. And this guy, he travels the world now, and he shares the gospel. He's got dreads down to his waist. He's a big old white dude. He's a real guy. But what happened to Todd is because of the way God changed his life, he just began to read God's word. And he got into God's word before he had any of those preachers helping him. And what he read in God's word is that God commands people to heal. God tells his disciples, go out and heal the sick. So Todd didn't know any better. So Todd he began to pray for people. And he wasn't seeing a whole lot of success. But rather than letting his expectation or his experience shape his truth, he held on to the truth of God's word. And so what he did is he set a goal. He said, you know, I'm just going to pray for 10 people every day. And so he went to Walmart, because there's not a better place in the world to find people that need prayer than Walmart, right? He'd go to Walmart, and he'd walk up to people, and he'd just say, hey, can I pray for you? until he got his 10 people. And so every day he'd pray for 10 people. A week would go by, pray for 70 people. A month would go by, pray for 300 people. And he wasn't seeing God heal the way he read about in God's word. He said it was over 3 months before he saw God heal the first person in his life. But he didn't give up on what God's word said. God's word said that God is a healer. And so he kept stepping in faith and he kept asking, say, God, I need you to move. God, these people need your power in their life. And so my challenge for you tonight, or my encouragement to you tonight, don't give up. This wasn't a short trip for Ray. This wasn't pray and instant healing. This was a process. The other thing I want to encourage you to do tonight is be a praying people. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to be that person here in just a second.